This is BBC Radio 4, the Home Service. Saturday Night Theatre. We present Flora Robson as the Queen in Mary Tudor, the play by Wilfred Grantham, adapted for radio by the author. This is the second production in the Flora Robson Festival.
It opens almost automatically at the page upon which are prayers for the safe delivery of women in childbirth. And it is tear-stained. It belonged to Mary Tudor, known to us in English history as Bloody Mary. This play tells something of the story behind those tears, and it begins in her girlhood when she was held prisoner by her father, King Henry VIII, at Hunsdon. In 1536, Mary's lady-in-waiting, Mistress Frideswide Strelley, wrote to her friend Ursula Baynton.
They arrived today. The Secretary of State, Master Thomas Cromwell, His Grace of Norfolk, Lord Sussex, and the Bishop of Chester. They are even now with her. God help us, for who knows what is intended. As you know, there has been much dissension between the King and his daughter, whom I serve, and she is held prisoner here, though none dare call it so.
This, then, madam, is the document. I ask you to listen closely to its content. The confession of me, the Lady Mary, made upon certain points and articles underwritten, in which I do most humbly beseech His Highness my father, King Henry VIII of England, whom I have obstinately offended in the denial of the same heretofore, to forgive and to take me to his most gracious mercy. Item, I do acknowledge the King's Highness to be supreme head of the Church of England, and do utterly refuse the Bishop of Rome's pretended authority, power, and jurisdiction within this realm. Item, I do freely, frankly, for the discharge of my duty towards God, the King, and his laws, acknowledge that the marriage between His Majesty and my mother, the late Princess Dowager Catherine, was by God's law and man's law incestuous.
So, Master Cromwell, I am still to be a prisoner here, still to suffer indignities and endure discomforts.
Unless
I dishonor my mother's name and write myself a bastard.
Madam.
The word shocks you, my Lord of Chester. I am not so sensitive. You must forgive me. I can only speak in plain words.
For God, madam, I'm glad of that. Our errand then may be simpler.
It is quite simple. I refuse.
Refuse?
I have said it so often, my Lord of Norfolk, that I wonder you are surprised.
But, madam, I pray you consider...
Madam, if I might explain, His Majesty bears you nothing but goodwill. In no way does he wish to dishonor you or her late Majesty, your mother. It is upon the question of the succession that he is firm. If you will waive all claim to that in favor of the Princess Elizabeth...
Master Cromwell, that is a poor argument. If, as I hold, my mother was a lawful wife, then I am my father's lawful heir. How can His Majesty be willing to deny my bastardy and yet at the same time deny my rights?
May I point out, madam, that His Majesty's marriage with Catherine of Aragon, your mother, was declared unlawful by the church.
By whose church, my Lord Bishop, yours or mine? You acknowledge not Rome, but my father as the head of your church. Whilst I submit to him in all things but that.
Times are changing, madam. Sometimes it is expedient to change with them. You are young and inexperienced. We have no wish to force you if we can persuade.
But if you cannot persuade?
Why, then, madam, we must use force.
It is the only remedy for obstinacy, madam.
Oh.
Madam, you appreciate plain words. I am a plain man, and you shall have them.
Your Highness, sir.
You still call me that? Should you not be wiser like His Grace of Norfolk and obey your king?
Madam, His Grace was too hasty.
Yet I think I know honesty when I hear it.
Oh, my temper, madam, I regret. Come, Sussex, and you, my Lord Bishop, we do more harm than good. Leave it to Master Secretary Cromwell. The wenches are off.
Oh, I fear you are both too hot, my Lord.
Master Cromwell, do you value your conscience above your life?
Why do you ask that, madam?
Can you understand that such a thing should be possible?
A conscience is difficult to define.
Then I will define it for you. To me, it is the Spirit of God given us through His Holy Church to battle for our souls against the temptations of the world that beset our poor bodies.
Now, you are, of course, entitled to your definition, madam.
But not to my life.
Madam.
Oh, Master Cromwell, be plain with me. They call me obstinate. I am my father's daughter. You know him so well, you should know me. Tell me, am I not right? If I refuse to sign away my own and my mother's name and dearer than all, my faith, then it is death.
Yes. Not only yours, but mine, madam.
Yours?
If I fail in this, His Majesty will show me no mercy.
You are afraid to die?
I think I am, madam. You think me contemptible that I fear death? Life holds out many promises to me. Might it not to you? I do urge you, madam, to think well on this. If you will submit in all things to His Majesty, you may rest assured he will make amends for the past.
Oh.
He needs you, madam.
Needs me?
He is unhappy in this new marriage with Anne Bullen. He is lonely and sometimes, I think, longs for his daughter's sympathy.
His daughter's sympathy? Master Cromwell, you know, he knows, all the world knows what I have endured. I had to see my mother humiliated. I was separated from her by force. I was not allowed even at her deathbed. I've been made to wait upon Elizabeth, my father's bastard. Oh, God knows I cannot bear ill will towards a babe. I have been denied all comforts, even a sufficiency of food and clothing. I have been sick, and no one has cared whether I lived or died.
No one desires your death, madam.
Yet no one seems anxious that I should live.
There is His Majesty, your father.
My father. I love him, Master Cromwell. Does that seem strange to you? Though he were to put me to death tomorrow, I think I should still love him.
Yet you will not do what he asks of you.
Oh, my head aches. If only I could have peace.
It is waiting for you, madam. Here.
Yes, it is waiting for me. Peace, luxury, honors, pomps and vanities. A scrawled signature and I have won them all. But I shall have denied my God. I'm so tired.
God will forgive, madam. Out of the evil that you think you do, good will come.
What good? Tell me that.
Your duty to the king, your father, madam, that will save him from blood guiltiness, and perhaps your duty to God, who may have use for you in this world.
Oh. Give me the pen.
Will you not read it first, madam?
I can do much, Master Cromwell, but not that.
Now, madam, you will have peace.
November 15th.
Cause for joy. Master Renard, Spanish ambassador to our court, is to arrange a match between the Queen and the Emperor Charles' son, Philip of Spain. All this I heard in strict confidence, but hasten to inform you, whom I know can be trusted. I grieve to say that Mistress Trelly, Her Majesty's lady-in-waiting, did not share my pleasure when I told her. But Mistress Jane Dormer, who is young, is all agog. We look forward greatly to a match that will bring life and merrymaking to the court. We had many weary years during that poor child Edward's reign, as well you know, and Her Majesty is only now beginning to recover her natural spirit and take an interest in her clothes. I hear that the rumors concerning certain evil men in Kent that you wrote of, and especially of Sir Thomas Wyatt, are, alas, of some substance. But I do not think now that anything will come of them. The Lady Elizabeth visited us a few weeks past. This surprised us all. I was in a great concern and tumbled my workbox upon the floor when Her Majesty entered. By God's grace, the Queen commanded Mistress Dormer to play music, and though there was some embarrassment, all passed off exceeding well.
She plays well, does she not, sister?
She has an excellent touch, madam. Though I do not remember hearing that air before.
It should have words, I think.
Is it your Majesty's wish? Daily I pray to be worthy of it, and you. You speak to me of this man Wyatt as if you suspected me as an accomplice. Why, madam, all England knows him as a man of heretical opinions, a blasphemer and a malcontent.
I thought you knew nothing of him.
I meant by hearsay, madam. How can I prove my sincerity If you fear some plot against yourself, tell me how it is in my power to help you. I know so little of such things.
Then see less of the French ambassador.
The French ambassador, Monsieur de Noailles? But, madam, he is your friend.
I did not say he was not. I said see less of him.
I could scarcely do that.
Then see him not at all.
You suspect me of intriguing with him against you, madam. I can see that. I swear to you that it is false. I wish only to be confronted by those who slander me, to disprove such lies.
I'm accusing you of nothing.
I am deeply hurt, madam.
You think me stern, sister. God knows this is not my wish to hurt anyone. I only speak for your good. Our father was a plain-spoken man. Perhaps I have that quality from him. Sometimes I think it is a misfortune. You are not like that, sister. You are careful, guarded. You say so much and yet so little.
I am young, madam, and inexperienced.
Young and inexperienced. Once that was said of me. That is why I warn you against Wyatt and the Noy. And remember, no one is so young or inexperienced that they cannot keep faith.
I shall always be devoted to your majesty.
I hope so, sister. Do not think me harsh, my girl. I have not so many friends that I would lose one by overblunt words. Yes, Drelly?
The Spanish ambassador, Monsieur Renard, is here, madam.
I will see him.
Yes, madam.
You forgive me, sister?
I know, madam, that you spoke for my welfare, and I am grateful. But as I told you, I know nothing of what you mean. I can only say that I serve you in all things.
Oh, your pardon, madam. I understood.
Never mind, Monsieur Renard. I have been giving good advice to my sister, and like all good things, one can have too much if you come to save her from that.
Ah.
Strelly, take the Lady Elizabeth, that she may see the vestments and copes I ordered to be set aside for her chapel at Hatfield.
Yes, madam.
Come back later, sister, and tell me your choice.
Thank you, madam.
They are in the long room. Are they many?
Okay. Well, Monsieur Renard, I have warned her.
What did she answer, madam?
That she knew nothing.
False?
I think so, too. And yet, I do not want to think so. I have great hopes that I am mistaken.
And I, madam, none at all. There is trouble brewing. Wyatt and Anoa'i are up to mischief. Exactly what it is, I cannot yet fathom. But I will take my oath the Lady Elizabeth is as deep in it as any.
Well, she has had her warning.
I would go further. There is only one safe place for her.
The tower?
It will come to that.
There is no evidence against her.
When you get evidence, madam, it may be too late.
Perhaps, but I will have no injustice.
It is what my master, the Emperor Charles, would advise.
My cousin has written on this matter.
Yes, madam, with great seriousness. And also upon the other.
Oh, Renard. I hardly dare to think of that.
The Emperor is willing, madam, indeed desires it. For the unity of the Catholic faith and for the love he bears you.
And Philip?
His son, too, is well disposed to the match.
But he is young, Renner.
Are you then so old, madam?
Old enough to know better. Listen, my friend. I am not so much a woman that I can forget my duty as a queen. As a woman, I would marry for love. But who is there who could love me and whom, as a queen, I could marry?
If Philip were to see you...
He would run away. No, Renner. I have no illusions about myself.
I think you have, madam. You think you lack beauty.
I do not say so.
Oh, forgive me, madam, when you spoke of illusions.
I forgive you, because it is true.
I do not agree.
Well, we won't argue about it.
You are well-read, accomplished, a fine musician.
Do these things matter? Will a man love for them?
Well, they are not to be despised. And then again, what is nearer to your heart than your religion? You are no lip server, madam, to the church. It's life to you. More than life. For I think you hold it infinitely dearer.
Monsieur Renard.
I am sorry, madam. I did not intend to use what is sacred to you as a means to further a political alliance.
I know. But I would rather it had been left unsaid. You are right, my friend. I do hold it infinitely dearer.
Which again, triumphant.
They are blessed words. They warm my heart.
Think, too, madam, of the succession.
The succession?
God will surely reward you with a son.
A son?
Who would succeed you and crown your life work with security.
Oh, dreams, Renard.
Why should they not come true, madam, when it is within your power?
I must think, not dream. I must be practical, Renard. If, remember, I only say if. If I consented to this match, the Emperor would not interfere.
Interfere, madam?
With England. I should not wish it, nor would the country allow it. There can be no more than the title of king for Philip, even though I desired it. Englishmen are no friends of Spain. As it is, they would do more than murmur if they heard of such a match. There's a spirit among some of them that I do not like to see. A spirit of disobedience to the church and to the realm.
Surely, madam, the cause is worth the risk. Besides, but for the few you speak of, the whole country is loyal to you.
Maybe, but I must get these things clear in my mind. The Emperor must not expect England to fight his battles for him in France. And there are other questions, too, that I could not answer alone, and they would lie in the Chancellor's, in Bishop Gardiner's hands. Tell me, Renard, of this young man who is so ready to marry me. How much younger is he than I?
12 years, madam. He is old for his years, of serious disposition, and like yourself, accomplished.
And he is willing to leave Spain for an unfriendly country to wed a woman whom he has never seen and who has so little to commend her.
Ah, madam, how can I convince you?
Poor Renard. Diplomacy is hard enough in dealing with a queen on affairs of state without adding affairs of the heart.
They are equally important, madam. And I am forgetting the young man himself.
You have told me, serious and accomplished. A queen should be grateful even for that.
You wish you could see him?
That is impossible.
Not for a diplomat, madam. Look, his likeness in miniature. It's Titian's work, madam.
For me?
Yes. It was painted 3 years ago. The beard should be thicker now. Hold it a little from you, madam. Well, madam?
I must think. Do not ask me for an answer now. But tell me one thing, my friend. As you love me, in the interest of our faith, this realm, and perhaps just a little for myself, would you have me say yes or no?
I would have you say yes.
He looks kind, Renard.
I will see the Lord Chancellor as soon as possible, madam.
March 1554, 4 months later. From the letters of Jane Dormer, Lady-in-Waiting to Queen Mary.
Now that Wyatt and the other traitors await their punishment, I would tell you a little of that fearful night whereon we thought that all was lost. Wyatt and his army were upon us, and all London was stricken with fear, save only the Queen, save only Her Majesty, and perhaps even she.
They are mustering, Jane. Nothing can be done till dawn. Go and sleep, my dear.
But you, madam.
No, I shall not need you.
I think I ought to stay.
Do as you are told. Pray for me, Jane, that I do not fail them. Go now, my dear.
Very well, madam.
Give me, Lord, thy grace, that my faith waver not in me, but ever be firm and constant. That charity wax not cold in me, that the weakness of my flesh be not overcome by the fear of death.
April 1554, 2 months later.
And so, Your Majesty, I have come not only as Lord Mayor of London, but also as head of their guild. I have outlined the petition in detail to you, but to sum up, the position is this.
I must ask you to be as brief as possible, my Lord Mayor.
Certainly, madam, certainly. To sum up, for some time past, our cloth merchants here in the City of London, members of one of the most ancient guilds in the realm...
Yes, you have told me that once already.
Oh, your pardon, madam, I had forgotten.
Please go on.
Our cloth merchants, madam, have for some time past suffered at the hands of the Flemish weavers, trade has steadily been going out of this country. Wyatt's rebellion, thanks be to God now over this 2 months, was the final blow. We need protection, madam, if we are to recover.
I protected your lives against Wyatt, and now I must protect your clothes against the Flemings. Is that it?
If you put it so, madam, yes.
What remedy do you suggest?
A tax, madam, on the foreigner.
Ah, the foreigner.
We can make better cloth than he can.
But not so cheaply. Do their guilds work harder than ours?
No, madam, but the rebellion has been responsible
for... Yes, you said that before. Who was it took part in the rebellion? Some of these very people, no doubt, who are now ready to complain that it has robbed them of their livelihood.
I can only speak for London, madam. Your Majesty knows how that night we rallied against the traitors.
And drubbed them soundly, I know.
I am not a boastful man, madam, but I think I may say that I did my duty to the utmost.
You need say no more. Well, I will do what I can for you. Besides, we shall all want fine clothes soon, shall we not, Strelitz?
I make my gowns last, madam. There is no soft living for any lazy weaver to be got out of me.
Dear Strelitz, I can well believe it. But in any case, you will all have to have new gowns for my wedding.
Oh, your Majesty's marriage will be a blessing to the trade.
I hope so. Good day to you, my Lord Mayor.
Madam...
Strelly, my Lord Mayor is leaving.
Our gratitude, madam.
Strelly.
Yes, madam, I'm going now.
And to think that 2 months ago that old fool was in this very room shaking like a jelly.
You must not call the Lord Mayor an old fool. He may be old, but he's no fool. He forgets easily.
If I had my way, there are quite a few who wouldn't have the chance of remembering.
Yes. I should be glad when their trial is finished.
A trial's too fair for them, I think.
Now, Strelly, that is foolish, and you know it. Wyatt and the rest will get their deserts. You need not be afraid they will not. Men who risk all expect it if they lose. And they have lost.
Not only men, madam.
That is not for you to judge. You cannot understand what it is to know her sister's life is in the balance.
But if she is guilty, madam, she
could... Until she is proved so, we will not speak of it. And perhaps not then. Yes, Jane?
Madam, the Lord Chancellor, he wishes to see you at once.
At once? Has he come from the council?
I don't know, madam.
I will see him.
Yes, madam.
You must go, Strelly.
Forgive me for what I said, madam.
Need one ever forgive honesty? You must go, my dear.
Yes, madam.
Madam, the Lord Chancellor.
Yes, my lord.
I have come from the council, madam.
Yes.
It concerns the trial of Wyatt and the other rebels.
Yes.
It is nearly finished, madam.
I'm glad.
I might almost say that it is finished.
And what do you want of me?
You make it hard for me, madam.
Hard? I do not understand.
Your sister, madam. I'm afraid that it will hurt you.
My friend, tell me the truth. You have not come to talk only of Wyatt.
There is fresh evidence against the Lady Elizabeth.
Fresh evidence?
Here in my hand, madam.
Well?
There are letters, madam, written in cipher.
By my sister?
Not signed, but initialed.
To whom?
To no eye.
How were they obtained?
Most men have their price, madam.
And my counsel paid it.
Does that matter, madam? It was injustice to yourself.
Can you prove they are genuine?
There is no doubt that they are.
I ask for proof, my friend.
They are in her hand.
You say they are in cipher. Have they found the key?
Not yet.
Then how can you prove that they are in cipher?
Those letters are so blameless that they must be. Did you ever know the Lady Elizabeth to use simple words?
But if the contents reveal nothing and you have no key, surely these letters are of no value as evidence.
We are dealing with traitors, madam.
You are dealing with my sister.
I would to God she were as loyal to you as you are to her.
My friend, I have often doubted her loyalty, but that does not mean she is treacherous.
Madam, throughout the trial of Wyatt and the others, there has scarcely been any stage in which your sister was not implicated.
So far you have proved neither word nor deed against her.
To my mind, Wyatt's insistence upon her innocence was a disservice to her. It rang false. It was too desperate to be true.
And her own evidence?
We could not shake her. She denies everything. I swear she is guilty, but we cannot find her so unless we use these.
Why must she be found guilty? Is it necessary?
I think it is.
Is that justice?
Yes, madam. Justice to the realm, guilty or not. And the council agrees with me. There will be no peace in the country while your sister lives.
You wish for her death?
I do not wish it. I am human, madam, but the alternative is too dangerous.
Does she know that you have possession of her letters?
No.
She should have the opportunity of explaining them.
I have no doubt she could do that, madam. A child could do it.
Suppose... Suppose I kept her in the tower.
The penalty for treason is death. There is no middle course.
And if she is guiltless?
But then she must go free. It would not be safe to detain her. She would gain too much sympathy for her cause.
I cannot put her to death without sufficient proof.
For the council, this evidence is sufficient proof.
But not for me.
God knows, madam, that Monsieur Renard and I rarely agree. But for once we are in accord. He shares my views completely. You yourself would not wish Prince Philip to be welcomed with the smoldering remains of a rebellion.
You drive me too hard.
For your good, madam.
But I will not be driven. You must give me time.
Of course, madam. But before you make your decision, read these letters.
Yes, I promise you I'll do that. You will forgive me if I'm obstinate.
Always, madam. If it is not too often, it is for you to decide. Read those letters, madam, and whatever your opinion may be, remember that were she in your place, she would be ruthless.
Yes.
It is worth considering, madam.
May 1554, 1 month later. From Susan Clarence to her friend Anne Fiennes.
The wedding is to take place in July, and the Lord Chancellor, good Bishop Gardiner, is to lend his house at Winchester for the occasion. Oh, there is much talk. Indeed, none thinks of any other thing. They say that Prince Philip is a fine young man, but there are some who openly rail against the whole affair. Friend Roger tells me strange tales of the trials against the rebels. The Princess Elizabeth's name is mentioned, but I would not for all the world be indiscreet. The Princess and her woman, Catherine Ashley, are the guests of Sir Henry Beddingfield. Some do say that the Princess cannot leave his house at Woodstock, even did she so desire.
Well, Catherine?
I have the letter here, madam.
No one suspects?
No, madam.
Give it me, then. They've hanged Wyatt, Catherine.
It was to be expected, madam.
Yes.
He was a fine man.
He was a traitor.
Of course, madam.
You're apt to forget that. Traitors to their queen should expect no mercy.
No, madam.
Had they proven me guilty at my trial for complicity in the rising, I should have had short shrift.
Then, madam, why do they keep us here?
I think you know well enough. And if not, well, I would not explain it, even if I could.
Has Monsieur de Noailles any other news, madam?
They are talking of a marriage for me.
Oh, impudence.
No, policy. The Duke of Savoy has been mentioned.
It would mean freedom, of course, madam.
Listen, Catherine Ashley, nothing can be proved against me. My innocence of any treasonable intent is unassailable. The council had to admit that. One day, I may be queen of this realm. Since they cannot take my life, they are anxious to be rid of me. Shall I throw away the crown of England for a foreign duchy? Yes, Sir Henry?
I have come to prepare you for a visitor, madam.
That is indeed a luxury. And who is it to be, Sir Henry?
Her Majesty the Queen. She will be with you in a few moments.
Very well. Why should she come? What does she want? Ever since the rebellion, she has ignored me.
Do you think there is fresh evidence?
What do you mean? I've told you before that I am innocent. Why do you look at me like that, woman? I tell you there can be no evidence.
No, madam, no. Well,
what are you afraid of, then?
Nothing, madam, nothing. But supposing Monsieur de Noailles...
Well?
I have been between you and him so often, with letters.
Why should I not correspond with Monsieur de Noailles?
Of course, madam, only... If someone had found them or stolen them from
me. Do you take me for a fool? Anyone could have read those letters and been none the wiser. Find your wits. Look, you have served me ever since I was a child, and I allow you great freedom, but I will not tolerate you when you talk like that.
Forgive me, madam. It was for you I was afraid.
For me? Why? Look me straight in the face. Am I innocent or not?
Yes. Yes, madam, yes.
Then you too are innocent, so you need not fear for yourself either. She will be here in a moment. Go into the next room. I do not want you here.
Yes, madam.
Madam, Her Majesty.
Sit down, sister. You and I have not met for some time.
That has scarcely been my fault, madam.
No, nor has it been entirely mine.
You are well, madam?
I have not your health, Elizabeth, but by God's grace I have a few more years yet. I too was imprisoned at your age, and they dealt less gently with me than I have with you. I do not think any physician could ever cure the harm those years inflicted on me.
I have not complained, madam.
Is there any reason why you should?
I think there is. Has not your Majesty's own counsel declared me innocent of supporting traitors against you? Have I not sworn upon the faith that I am guiltless? If you do not doubt all this, then surely I might have reason to complain, and yet I have not done so.
Why?
Because, madam, no loyal subject should ever question the Queen's commands.
Fine words, my girl.
They are true.
Then why is it that petitions come to me for your release?
I know nothing of them, madam.
I think you do, sister, but never mind that. You have heard that I am to be married soon.
Soon? Then I wish you joy.
Joy? Well, maybe. Spain and England united under one faith should be joy enough for me. Do you not think so?
If your Majesty thinks so.
It would not satisfy you, sister?
I do not know, madam. I think I should want to love my husband for himself as well as for his country.
You would put love before your country?
I did not say so.
Suppose there was a man you could love. A man of small possessions. You could renounce much for him.
Have you made such a match for me, your Majesty?
And if I had?
I should want time to consider it. I would not willingly offend you by refusing to obey, but since it seems that I have offended so much already, I should not wish to jeopardize what little happiness is left to me, even at the risk of adding to my offense.
Be plain, my girl, and say no. God forbid I should force upon you that which I could not endure myself. But I think you owe me something, sister.
Do you, madam?
I have stood between you and death. You are clever, Elizabeth. Cleverer than I. You have a subtle mind that delights in twisting simple words. But this I know. When you were on your trial, the counsel submitted to me certain evidence against you. Had I allowed them to proceed with that evidence, it would have meant your death.
I only wish you had allowed it, madam, so that I could have challenged it.
True or false, it would have condemned
you. Why? Is there no such thing as justice?
Someday, I hope there may be. But you know as well as I do that, as things are, it is difficult to obtain. The most doubtful evidence would have told against you. That is why I suppressed
it. Yet it hangs over me like a cloud, madam, to prejudice you against me. What was this evidence?
Letters. Letters to Monsieur de Noailles.
Yes, madam.
In cipher.
Then it was false evidence.
Maybe. I'm not asking you to refute
but
it.
But I must.
No, I have already told you that is past. No doubt you have plenty to say in your defense. You never lacked words, sister. You will go on with your protestations of innocence and devotion to myself, but before God, I believe you to be guilty.
Madam!
You need not be afraid. I'm not trying to trap you.
I have nothing to fear, madam, but guiltless though I am, I had rather die than live under suspicion.
Heroics, Elizabeth. You are not the sort to die for conscience' sake. It would be better for you if you were. Listen, sister. 20 years ago, I was guilty of cowardice and was untrue to myself. All my life, that cowardice has hung over me, as you say, like a cloud. If you would not suffer as I have done, be honest with me and admit your fault. I give you my word that it shall go no further than this room and you shall have your freedom. But until you do, there can be no friendship between us. You have lied to me, Elizabeth, and to your judges. Will you lie to God, who knows all?
I am innocent. I have not been untrue to my conscience, madam, and I fear nothing of the retribution you speak of.
I could order your death tomorrow.
Then I am prepared.
I have been called an obstinate woman, but I am pliant as wax compared with you, Elizabeth. I'm very sorry for it. I should have liked to see you free before my marriage. Free not only in body, but in soul.
My soul is free.
I'm glad of that. God grant you keep it so. When you were a child, Elizabeth, I loved you for the innocence that is every child's. So it was with our brother Edward. But he grew to love me, and that you have never done.
I have always loved you, madam.
Never. Since you could choose for yourself, you have hated me. I would not have you love me against your will, sister. After all, what is there in me to command the love of any? A hard woman, they say, always on her pious knees. A passionless woman, they think, because I condemn immodesty. Harsh, because I am plain-spoken. Why should you not think so? I do not blame you. One day, perhaps, God of his great goodness will grant me a child of this marriage. Him I shall love as I have loved nothing else. And maybe he will love me a little, too.
That is the hope of every woman, madam, and my hope for you.
Is it? Naturally. You would welcome my child that would deprive you of your right to this realm.
I have never considered it. I hope such an event would in no way influence me to any feeling other than goodwill.
Oh. I'm going now. It is a pity that you cannot be with me at Winchester for my wedding, but you have chosen otherwise.
I wish you every happiness, madam.
God be with you, sister. Ashley?
Yes, madam.
She has gone.
Well, madam,
it was quite true about the marriage plan.
But you refused.
Yes.
Was that all, madam?
No. You should know that, since your ear must have been at the keyhole.
Did you need me for anything, madam?
You will get word through to Monsieur de Noailles, as you have done before. Make what excuse you like to the guards. They suspect nothing of you.
And the word?
Virgin.
July 1554, from Jane Dormer.
Tonight I'm so fatigued that I can write but little. So much has happened in so short a space. This afternoon, Prince Philip arrived for the wedding. His Grace came with a train of fine gentlemen. One of them, the Count of Ferrier, I had become acquainted with, for he arrived 2 days ago to announce the safe landing at Southampton. He seems to seek my company. When all had been presented, we English to the Prince, the Spanish gentleman to the Queen, Her Majesty gave us leave to withdraw that we might sup and dance. And so we left them both together. Will you sit, my lord?
Thank you, madam.
You are very like your portrait.
It was considered a good likeness, madam. You are not disappointed?
No. And you?
How can you ask?
But I do.
Then I think I am fortunate. More than I deserve.
You know so little of me.
I have heard much, madam. Renard wrote eloquently and in great detail.
Ah, Renard, yes. He, more than any, has brought us together.
And you? You are regretting it?
No. Do you think you will like my... our England?
I have seen very little of it as yet, madam, and that mostly obscured by rain. This is a fine city. Your cathedral seems strange, but it has great dignity. I stopped on my way and entered it.
To pray?
Why, yes, madam.
I am glad. You know my sister has embraced our faith.
She will be present tomorrow?
No, she is at Woodstock in the country.
But I should have thought that...
My sister Elizabeth has been foolish. Since the rebellion,
oh,
I have had
yes,
to...
I understand.
You know?
Oh, Renard and his dispatches.
Oh, of course. It is for her own sake I keep her there. Whether she knows it or not, Elizabeth seems to fire the imagination of those who plot against me.
But she had no hand in the rebellion. As a true Catholic, surely that was out of the question. If I understood Renard rightly, the traitor Wyatt directed his attack chiefly on religious grounds.
I do not know what to think. All my life I have struggled to hold a straight course. I am not a very astute woman, my lord. Intrigue and diplomacy mean much to some. Life without these seems dull and unexciting. I have always dealt in plain words, spoken what I felt and answered as truly as I could. I think I am at a disadvantage in that I expect others to deal so with me.
Surely the princess would not deceive you.
Elizabeth is a strange girl. She had a strange childhood, always old for her years.
Even at 13, her letters were masterpieces of diplomacy. Mm. Her mother... But why do I worry you with this now, my lord?
Madam, I assure
you... No, I would not speak of old sorrows and rancors. Tonight I am a happy woman.
May you always be so, madam.
I shall try to be a good wife to you, Philip.
And I fear I can never be a good enough husband.
Tell me again. You are not disappointed.
I give you my word, no.
I feel almost jealous of the women who must have loved you, and especially your wife.
She is no longer my wife. In any case, the marriage was never recognized.
I know, but she must have loved you. And she bore you children.
Well, certainly. They are well provided for.
And you, do you feel no grief at separation? No bitterness at having to renounce them for me?
Any regrets that I may have had are past. You and I are going to be happy, Mary.
I think we are, Philip.
Will you come to love me, do you think?
No man has ever asked my love before, Philip. But I think I have loved you for quite a long time.
Oh, since when?
Since Rena first showed me your portrait.
What is that? Oh, it is Feria. He moves quickly.
Madam, Your Highness, I can't... I did not know. Excuse me.
Shall we excuse her, my lord?
Of course.
I will attend to my duties, madam.
Stay here, Jane. Good night, Philip. Until tomorrow. Now you must go.
Good night.
Good night. Jane?
Madam, what can I say? The Count de Ferrier asked me to watch the dancing below with him. It was only for a moment.
I understand, my dear. He loves you, Jane.
Oh, madam, I do not know.
I do. I heard his voice.
I think he does, madam.
And you?
Oh, I've only known him for 2 days.
But you have promised to see him tomorrow.
Oh, yes, madam, but that was only to be rid of him. Tomorrow is your wedding day. There will be little time to waste on the Count de Ferrier.
Jane, whether you love him or not, be honest with him. It will save you both much disquiet.
Oh, I'm so happy. There are hundreds of foolish, loving plans going round and round in my head. Philip and I and Philip. To those that love much, nothing seems impossible. Listen, what is that they're playing?
I played it to you once, madam. You said it should have words, do you remember? Forget not yet the tried intent of such a truth as I have meant.
Forget not then thine own approved, the which so long hath thee so loved. Whose steadfast faith yet never moved. Forget not this. Now I know for certain that it is love music.
September 1554. Hampton Court, 2 months later.
Since the return of the King to London, the citizens have recovered from the violence they first showed and seem to comprehend the honour and welfare which the alliance has brought to England and the repose and tranquillity that are the result.
Mm.
My good Renard, are you really going to submit this to Her Majesty?
That is what I'm waiting for, Feria. She has to approve it. Have you any fault to find with my dispatch?
You know, Renard, I think your success as a marriage broker has coloured your views on everything else. Or is it Hampton Court in the country air?
Why?
In spite of your fine letter to the Emperor, there have been, shall we say, signs of discord. Scarcely a day passes without a disturbance of some kind. Either a brawl between our people and the English, or some crazy heretic denouncing Philip and all his works. The Emperor would not be too pleased if he knew some of the things that are said about his son.
He does know. That is why I write to reassure him.
What's the good of that? Something should be done.
And something will be done. I am an optimist, Feria.
How anyone could be an optimist in this barbarous country is beyond my comprehension.
Ah, my Lord Chancellor.
I do not disturb you, gentlemen.
Not in the least, my Lord. What can I do for you?
You, Count Tartaria, leave shortly for Spain with dispatches, I believe.
I do, my lord.
May I have a word with you, Monsieur Renard?
No. I will leave you.
Not on my account. I only wish that Monsieur Renard may include in his dispatch my views in regard to certain exchanges between the Emperor and Her Majesty. As you, Count Tartaria, are to convey them to the Emperor, you may assist in making them still clearer if you hear what I have to say.
My lord.
Well, my lord?
It has been brought to the notice of the council that the king is anxious to obtain full rights of the crown matrimonial.
And Her Majesty?
It is not in her hands. Whatever her wishes may be, however much personally I might be disposed to accede to them, there can be no question of His Majesty occupying any position other than he does. Neither the council nor the country would consider it for one moment. That, I hope, is clear.
Perfectly, my lord.
Need I mention this to the Emperor?
Do as you think fit. So far, there has been no formal application by the Queen to the Council. She may never make one. I simply tell you that you may discourage any attempt of pressure being brought to bear in order to save the Queen the humiliation of the Council's refusal.
I understand, my lord.
And I think you agree with me.
It is my business to agree or disagree as I am bid. I have almost lost the sense of personal opinion.
I do not believe you. Good day to you, gentlemen.
Good day, my lord.
How English. No finesse. No appreciation of intrigue.
You will find that blunt simplicity very characteristic and infinitely more dangerous than subtlety.
But how dull men are. Hmm.
Still, he serves us better than he knows.
How? There will be no crown matrimonial for Philip now?
I never thought there would be.
What is it, then?
Troops.
Troops?
English troops.
For Spain against France?
The Emperor gives me no peace about it.
My dear Renard, England's neutrality in Spain's quarrel with France formed one of the most important clauses in the marriage article.
I know.
Well?
Listen, agreements have been revised before now. If the council has to refuse the Queen's request for the crown matrimonial for her husband, might they not mollify her by conceding help to her father-in-law?
Mollify her? By involving her in a war she neither wants nor can afford. No, no, it's not good enough, Winner. I tell you, Philip will not get his crown, nor the Emperor his troops.
Well, personally, I have no wish to involve her in a war. If only the Emperor was less insistent.
I thought you had no personal opinions.
Now you are being dull.
Then I may be in the mood to win Mistress Dormer. I will woo her with blunt simplicity. That was the phrase, wasn't it? Perhaps you'll be able to understand me better.
The repose and tranquility that are the result. I wish that was quite true. Still, in time, perhaps. Ah, good morning, Your Grace.
Dispatches, Renard? You are writing to my father?
Yes, Your Grace. Have you any instructions?
What does it matter whether I have or not? I am of little account here.
I do not understand.
I am to become a father, it seems.
Your Grace, I am pleased beyond words. The Emperor will be overjoyed.
Oh, yes, yes. I have been a dutiful son, Renard.
My lord, what is the matter? I should have thought this news would make you the happiest of men.
Instead, you see the most humiliated. This child of mine will be sovereign of this realm. Enjoy the full powers that every monarch should have. Ought not I, by right, to be no less a monarch, too?
The Chancellor was here just before you came.
Yes, I know. I passed him in the garden. He hates me, Renard.
He means well, Your Grace.
Yes, that's the usual excuse for flagrant discourtesy. In this country, if a man is boorish, they call him blunt and honest. If he hides his true feelings in the interests of others, his sincerity is doubted and he is regarded with suspicion.
The Count de Feria is also of that opinion.
Well, what did the Chancellor want? I suppose he suspects that my father will press my claims to the crown matrimonial, and you are to tell my father he is not to interfere. Am I right?
It would hardly be necessary now, Your Grace.
What do you mean?
Your unborn child will be your best advocate. Her Majesty will scarcely deny you anything now.
I had not thought of that. Of course. Now she can afford to be generous. I might have known that when she told me she'd sent for Madame Elizabeth from Woodstock.
Madame Elizabeth?
She arrived secretly last night. I'm to meet her here with the Queen.
Here?
In a few minutes. Then she is to be pardoned?
If she will acknowledge her fault. I am to add my persuasion to that effect.
I am curious, Renner.
Your Grace, Her Majesty.
Oh.
I'm sorry you have been kept waiting, Monsieur Renner.
I have the dispatches here, madam.
There is something to add to them. Have you told him, Philip?
Yes, it is welcome news.
You know how much it means to me.
I will withdraw and write it at once, madam.
Let me see them before they go, Renner.
Of course, Your Grace.
What shall he be named, Philip?
He?
Our son.
You think it will be a son?
I pray that it may. He must be Philip, of course. Henry, too, after my father. And Charles, after yours. He will be Philip the First of England.
Can I never be that?
Philip?
But I am asking you.
Oh, it would be difficult. The council, I'm sure, would refuse.
You would not refuse.
I can refuse you nothing, Philip.
Then you will try to persuade them.
Yes. I will try.
Now that we are to have a child, I think it only just. Why should they object? The succession will be safe enough when it is born.
But supposing, Philip, anything were to happen.
Oh, if you or the child or both were to die, is that what you mean?
Yes.
I see. Yes, they would want your sister.
But nothing will happen, will it, Philip? I'm going to bear a son who will grow up strong and beautiful. He will be like you, Philip. I'm so happy, my dear, so proud. And you are too?
If you are happy, Mary, then I am.
Perhaps men cannot understand.
I think they can. Since you told me this morning, I have felt a little bitterness. I am worthy to beget the rightful king, but not to enjoy full honors of kingship for myself.
Dear, if I had the ordering of...
And why should you not, Mary? You are queen. You have the power. My father would use his influence.
Yes.
In heaven's name, why should our child have a miserable puppet king for a father?
I will try, my dear. Believe me, I will try.
Yes, what is it, Strelling?
The Lady Elizabeth, madam. You were to see her. Sir Henry Bedingfield is here, too.
I will see her. Wait, tell my sister to come to me alone.
Yes, madam.
I must speak to her alone, Philip.
Then you do not wish me to stay?
I'm not sure now. Elizabeth ought to acknowledge her fault to me alone. If you are by my side, I might be weak and forgive too easily, and that would make her contemptuous of me.
I thought you wanted me to persuade her.
Only if I fail.
If I conceal myself here behind these hangings by the window, I could see and hear everything and be at hand if you should want me.
Would it be fair to her, Philip?
How can I help if I do not know what passes between you? The end justifies the means.
Is she alone?
Yes, Your Grace. The Lady Elizabeth, madam.
I have come, madam, as you ordered.
Can you guess why I have sent for you?
No, madam.
Much has happened since we last met.
I have heard very little, except, of course, that you are married to His Majesty.
Yes, I am married, sister.
And happy, I hope.
So happy that I'm ready... Will you confess your fault, Elizabeth?
Is it for that you have sent for me, madam?
You know quite well. Elizabeth, you are still resolved to maintain your innocence.
What am I to do, madam? If I acknowledge a fault of which I am not guilty, I betray my conscience. If I do not, I forfeit your majesty's goodwill and my liberty. What am I to do?
That argument seems familiar.
It would be easy for me to speak an untruth. In the sight of God, my conscience would still be clear and you would be satisfied. Is it not in my favor that I have not chosen such a course?
It would be in your favor if you told the truth.
Madam, I have been punished. I have borne the burden of suspicion. Whether it be just or unjust matters very little. I only pray you to believe I am loyal and devoted to your majesty now and always.
I suppose I must be content with that. I forgive you, sister.
I'm at your service, madam.
Wait. I have a surprise for you.
Hmm?
Look, there by the window. Now you understand why I ordered you to wear of your best, sister. My lord, if you have an obstinate wife, you have a very obstinate sister-in-law.
Obstinate or not, she defended her case most cleverly.
I am not clever, my lord. It was Her Majesty who was lenient.
That is finished, Elizabeth. We have turned a fresh page. I will speak to Sir Henry Bedingfield.
He is in the next room, madam. I will go to him then.
So, you are forgiven. I'm glad.
You heard everything, my lord.
Yes.
No one will ever believe me.
Why not?
Do you?
I do not think I care particularly. Have you been unhappy?
So long as my conscience is clear, my lord, I can endure anything.
We rarely see hair that color in Spain.
No one in England ever thinks it remarkable. I suppose they are used to it.
Oh, I do not believe that.
Well, they do not say so.
Hampton Court is pleasant, I think.
Of course, it is quite modern. The great cardinal built it for himself in my father's time.
Wolsey?
Yes. Later, my father took it.
Do you remember your father?
Very little. The Queen remembers him better than I. There are 17 years between us.
Well, will you stay here?
That is as Her Majesty wishes.
Oh, she would like to have you.
You really think so, my lord?
Shall we ask her?
I could not. I cannot believe that she would truly wish to have me here after all that has passed.
Oh, she has forgiven that, and she will forget. We are fortunate, she and I. We are to have a child.
Is that true, my lord?
Did it surprise you?
I had not heard. I congratulate you both.
Sister, I have been discussing plans for you with Sir Henry. He has offered you the hospitality of his house until it is decided where you are to live.
As you wish, madam. I shall await orders from yourself and from His Majesty.
What did you think of her, Philip?
She is very clever, and her hair is magnificent.
And she is young, Philip.
You will speak to the Chancellor?
My dear, is it then so bitter to you?
Listen, Mary. I am a prince of Spain. I come of a line as great, if not greater, than any in the world. Your own mother was of that line. England did not consider it beneath her dignity to accept me as your husband. I sacrificed much for that honor.
Philip.
I came. You welcomed me more warmly than I dared to hope. You gave me your love. Now you are giving me a child. That act has made us more than ever equals. As your husband and king, I only ask that equality should be acknowledged. Oh, they call me king, yes. But I am nothing more than husband to the Queen. Forgive me if I speak plainly like your English.
But, Philip...
Do you care more for this child than for me? Now, I do not matter, I suppose.
Philip, you say that to me. I promise that I will do my best.
I'm sorry, madam.
I do not think you understand what it is you are asking.
I do, perfectly.
Yet you could bear to see me refuse this by my own counsel.
How do you know they will refuse?
I've already told you. Nevertheless, I will do it. Yet I think you might have considered me a little.
I have said that I am sorry, madam.
Must we quarrel over this?
I have no wish to quarrel.
Then why should we? No woman was ever so blessed as I am. With your love, I can feel charitably, even towards Elizabeth.
I am glad. Why should she not come here? Why, later you may even enjoy her society.
I shall never do that. Still, now that she is forgiven, you would not mind?
No, why should I? At least, she would not dare play you false in your own court.
Madam?
Yes, Monsieur Renner.
Here is the letter, madam, you wish me to add, together with the rest of the dispatch.
I think I will read it alone and write a postscript in my own hand. It will not take long.
Madam... There is a copy of both, Your Grace.
A copy. A copy, Renard. That fits me truly. A copy!
August 1555, almost a year later. From Mistress Frideswhite Strelley... to her friend Ursula Bainton.
Doubtless, like most others, you are wondering when her child is to be born. God grant that it will be soon, for I have much fear for her. That royal coxcomb of a husband grows daily in insolence, but that is what one expects of foreigners. Prince or potboy, they're all the same. It angers me to see Her Majesty truckle so. Even Monsieur Renard, who is at least a courteous gentleman, though God knows what he plots behind our backs, must wish he had never set this marriage in train, for he too now has to suffer His Grace's vile outbursts of temper.
Oh, these English are duller than I imagined, Renard. Even their pregnancies demand more time than a civilized people's. Nearly 10 months, is it not?
Yes.
To hear the women talk, I might be Jove forging an infant Hercules. More likely a monstrosity.
Oh, Your Grace.
Well, I can't help it, Renard. Sometimes I think I shall go mad in this country. The rain, the people, the life. God, how I loathe it all. And what have I gained, eh? Nothing, nothing. A princeling in Spain has more power than I have here.
The queen did her best with the council, Your Grace.
Oh, am I never to hear the last of that? Oh, I know you think I bullied her into it. Well, if I did, at least I'm paying for it. The queen does not favor this. The council forbids that. And if they agree on anything, then the people take a hand in the game and throw mud at the Spanish dog and his popish wife.
Oh, Your Grace, you exaggerate.
Oh, I am sick, Renard. Sick for my own country, my own people. I am sick for love.
Yet the queen loves you dearly. Oh,
what sort of marriage has it been, eh? What love has there been between us? Not as a man should love a woman. Oh, I believe that she loves me. I would to God she didn't, or then it would be easier. Oh, if it had been her sister now. She is young and she...
Your Grace, I cannot listen to this. Whatever your personal feelings, that is your duty.
Duty? You talk to me of duty? Duty with me has become such a habit that I have even done my duty as a husband and begotten we know not what.
Do not be too sure of that.
You suggest that she has betrayed me?
Oh, Your Grace.
If you think so, say it, say it. It would amuse me to hear it. My sense of honor has become a little dim.
That is as may be, Your Grace, but never can you call Her Majesty's in question.
Then what do you mean?
Simply this. There may be no child.
No child? After all the preparation, national rejoicings, compliments from half of Europe, and a 10 month pregnancy, no child! Oh, you are not serious, Renard.
Nevermore, Your Grace.
Who says so?
The physician?
Ah, he's a fool. He should never have been allowed near the Queen.
She has faith in him.
Was that all he said?
No. He said, too, that there might never be one.
Slanderous dog! I will have him on the rack for that!
Gently, Your Grace. No one is to blame.
But Renard, my heir would have secured England to Spain. And now you tell me this! What will my father say? Where is this physician? I will question him myself.
Hush, hush.
Madame Elizabeth, you find us still here. These are anxious times for a husband.
They will get less anxious as the years go by, my lord.
Find that physician for me, Renard.
Certainly, Your Grace.
You have a poor opinion of husbands.
I did not say so, my lord.
But have you?
I have had no experience and therefore cannot judge.
Oh, but every woman has made up her mind about her husband long before she has met him.
You must explain more clearly, my lord. I am only a woman of limited intelligence.
Here, sit by me here. Oh, I think you are a very intelligent woman. I am a little frightened of you, sister-in-law.
Then you are one of the few who are. The only other one I can think of is poor Sir Henry.
Sir Henry?
Beddingfield. My jailer, as I used to call him at Woodstock.
Yes, I remember.
You see, I think he was always a little afraid of the future. He need not have worried. I shall never be queen. You and my sister have seen to that.
Have we? I'm almost beginning to doubt it. This child of ours seems in no hurry to shoulder his responsibilities.
You must not blame my sister.
Oh, I do not.
At her age, there is always danger.
Yes. Yes, I know. However, you bear us no grudge.
My lord.
Well, it seems to be only natural if you do.
I am fond of my sister.
And of me?
Besides, I am not sure that I should want to be a queen.
No one could dictate to you.
That certainly would be an advantage. But then I should be required to marry.
And why not?
You see, my lord, I could never love any man who could not master me. And if I were a queen, I could not take orders from my husband.
Not if his will was your will?
Is there such a man?
I do not know. Perhaps, if I find him, shall I send him to you?
You can spare yourself the trouble. I shall never be queen now.
I am sorry. I should have liked to serve you.
And I am not, for I wish long life to my sister and her child.
Oh, of course, I did not mean that.
I know, she is your wife and you love her.
Yes, she is my wife,
yes.
but no.
What
no,
is it, my lord? Nothing, yes, there nothing. Is something. Tell me. Perhaps I can help you.
Keep me away, Elizabeth.
My lord.
Oh, Elizabeth, I am in hell. In hell, do you hear? And you have put me there.
Poor Philip.
Well, now you know.
Yes. And I forgive you all.
Oh, I was mad. Heaven knows I wish Mary no harm. In my heart, whatever my thoughts, I wish her nothing but good. I know that. I perhaps when I go back to Spain.
You're going away, Philip?
Yes, later, after the child is born. My father will want to see me. There's work for me there.
For how long?
I don't know.
I shall miss you, Philip.
You do not hate me, then?
You could not help yourself. I rather like to think of you as something of flesh and blood.
Oh, Elizabeth. As I look at you now, I want to take you in my arms. Everything about you tempts me. Your hair, your shape, your youth.
My hands are not unattractive.
Elizabeth,
Your Grace? Your Grace? I came to find the physician. Her Majesty is in great pain.
September 1555, Hampton Court, 1 month later.
Do you think the room is warm enough, Strelly?
Yes, I think I'd better stir the fire a little. A month ago, my dear, I never expected to see her in this room again.
But she is getting better, isn't she? Oh, the king would not be leaving her if she were not.
No, of course not, my dear. Is he going tonight?
Yes.
Where?
Greenwich. That is where the ship lies. And then Spain.
I hope he stops there.
Strelly. Why?
Never mind. Give me that cushion.
Here you are.
There now. That should be comfortable.
No, no, I do not need your arm, Susan. I'm quite strong now. You can leave me. Jane and Strelly are here. You can see, my dears, I walk well now.
Strelly thought you would be comfortable in this chair, madam. Oh.
Thank you, Strelly. There's nothing more for you to do. Jane will read to me.
Very well, madam. What shall I read to you, madam?
Nothing, my dear. Just sit by me here and perhaps we will talk a little.
Oh, you must not tire yourself, madam.
Then tell me about yourself. I have lost touch with the world lately. Count de Feriana, is he getting very impatient for your marriage?
Oh, our marriage must wait till you are better, madam.
I'm glad. I want it to be a great occasion for you both. But I do not wish to keep you waiting.
Feria agrees with me. I should not like to marry in haste.
To repent at leisure, is that it?
I love him too well, madam, to risk that.
So we women think, my dear. But whether you wait 1 year or 10, the risk of failure is always present.
I do not mean to fail him.
I was not thinking of you, but of him.
He loves me, madam.
Few men can love with the constancy of women. Sing to me, Jane.
What shall I sing, madam?
Anything. I think music will do me good.
Very well, madam.
Forget not yet the trial.
My great travail so gladly spent. Jane.
Yes, madam?
Why did you sing that?
You used to like the air, madam.
But the words. Before, it had no words.
Madam, once, if you remember, you suggested those words to it. A long time ago when I played it for Madam Elizabeth.
Yes. I remember now. She thought the air too somber for the words. Where is my sister?
I heard she was to sup with Monsieur de Noailles and others of the court.
I shall never understand her. I think I am old-fashioned, Jane.
Why, madam?
I believe too much in tradition. That we should honor God, be loyal to the throne, keep faith to those who trust in us. All those qualities that everyone recognizes as admirable in others, and so unnecessary to themselves. I'm behind the times, my dear. I cling to the old rules, to the old beliefs. They're all I have. If I did not stand fast by them, I should be swept away. For all around me, there are new things that I do not understand. Sedition, heresy, our fathers would have called them. But today they are spoken of as reform, and by men who, in my judgment, blaspheme against God's church and imperil the souls of those who are weak enough to be deceived by their arguments.
You will tire yourself. Remember, you have been ill.
There should be justice upon such men. Better they should burn in torment than live to infect others with corruption. Better for them that fire should consume their bodies before it is too late to save their souls from death.
Madam.
Yes, Kelly.
Madam, the Lady Elizabeth.
Let her come in. Do not go, Jane, my dear. You have come to inquire after my health, sister?
Why, yes, madam.
I need hardly ask the same of you. You look worse to our duty. Kings and queens cannot always afford the luxury of their own desires.
I know he will be anxious.
He will do his duty. I would not have it otherwise.
He will be much missed.
I think so, too.
I suppose his business is urgent.
Naturally. He would not go if it were not. I should have thought that was clear enough.
Of course. His Majesty has become so much part of England that we forget he has obligations in Spain. Will the Emperor keep him long, do you think?
You must ask him, sister.
However, if it is urgent business, as you say, it may be accomplished soon. On the other hand...
It may not. Why do you not let Monsieur de Noailles do his own work, sister? You will play with fire once too often, Elizabeth.
There is a fascination about fire, madam. Do you not think so?
It has two virtues. It can warm and it can cleanse.
But not fascinate? The crackle of wood, the myriad colors, the thrusting spear points, leaping and dying, the dull glow of the embers.
I was never imaginative, sister.
You, Mistress Stormer, you can understand, can you not?
I agree with Her Majesty, madam.
Then I think the Count de Feria is much to blame. He must be a prosaic lover, not to quicken your imagination. Fire is a favorite symbol of love.
You know so much of love, sister.
I have no use for love. I shall live and die a virgin, I think.
I am ready to believe much of you, Elizabeth, but not that.
I have admirers, of course. Not that I encourage them. But I think women of my coloring make men bold. I do not know why. Tonight, for instance, more than one man went further in his compliments than I thought necessary. I would not make you jealous, madam, but His Majesty himself was gracious enough to approve this dress and my pearls.
But surely he was not with Monsieur de Noailles?
Indeed, no. Poor Monsieur de Noailles is out of favor these days, I think.
That is his fault.
I know nothing about that, madam. No, I passed His Majesty in the passage less than half an hour ago.
He has much to do before he leaves. Jane, my dear, I think I should like to see him soon. I am tired. Find His Majesty and say that if he can come to me, I should be grateful.
Yes, madam. I will do it for you, madam. I should have gone before. I am afraid I have wearied you.
No, please stay. You have wearied me so long now, Elizabeth, that a few moments will make little difference.
I am sorry. I have always tried to do my duty to you, madam, both as queen and sister. If we had been less unequal in age, I think I should have understood better and retrieved my faults, since faults they seem to you
I shall take care not to offend again.
You and I speak a different language, Elizabeth. How you must hate me.
I have never hated you, madam.
No, nor have I hated you until just now. Maybe I have not loved you, but I have been loyal and not unjust. Now I think I hate you. Not for what you are, nor yet for what you will be, but because I am a woman like yourself.
That is unanswerable, madam.
No, there is an answer. Whether it is true or not, I pray God I may never know. Sometimes, Elizabeth, I think fools are to be envied in their paradise.
Madam, His Majesty.
It was good of you to come so soon, my lord.
I should have come sooner, but there was much to do. We arrived almost immediately.
May I wish your grace Godspeed? We shall be dull until you return. Shall we not, madam? Do not, sir, be too hard upon this poor England when you compare her with your beautiful Spain.
I am not ungrateful, madam. Neither shall I be ungracious.
Good night, madam.
Good night, sister.
Good night, your grace.
You have all you need, Philip?
Yes.
Take good care of yourself. And think of me sometimes.
I shall not be away long.
Still, we are in God's hands, Philip.
You are quite determined that you will not help my father?
Against France? Yes, Philip.
He will be disappointed.
He knew. It was part of the bargain.
Oh, how you two must have haggled over me.
Philip, did you imagine that a marriage such as ours could be made without conditions?
Of course not.
Then you are being childish. My dear, do you think I do not know how you feel? I have been much to blame, Philip. And yet I loved you. Love you still so much that I'm near to tears when you speak to me like that.
Mary, forgive me.
There is nothing that I could not forgive you, Philip. I think you did love me once. Just a very little. But you did. I like to think that you did.
Mary, I swear
no.
to you...
Let us be honest with ourselves. I do not want us to part with lies.
But you speak as if I should not come back.
Yes, you will come back because you must do your duty. But for ourselves, you and I, we have reached a crossroad in our journey and we no longer travel the same way. If I had had a child...
It could have made no difference.
Oh, yes. At least to me and perhaps to you. It would have made it easier for you, Philip. It would have relieved your conscience. Oh, Philip. I would have you put your arms round this tired body of mine and say just once, as if you meant it, I love you, Mary. I do not think I should mind, even though I knew it to be a pretense.
Mary, I... God... Forgive me.
Of course. Now go, my dear. You must not delay.
Mary, I...
No, please go. God bless you, Philip.
God bless you, madam.
Madam. Madam. Madam.
He has gone, Strelly.
I know. I saw him go.
Strelly.
Madam.
You have always been honest with me. Of all those who were at my bedside a month ago, you alone had the courage to tell me what I now know to be true. I shall never have a child, Strelly.
Oh, madam.
I have paid for my sin. God is always just.
Your sin?
I betrayed my mother. I denied my faith.
Child, why do you speak of that now? It is 20 years ago.
To me, it is as yesterday. All my life, I tried to escape, to atone, and to forget.
I wish I had died then.
Madam.
Do you think it would have been a son, Strelly? Maybe I should have loved a daughter just as well. She'd have been like my mother, perhaps. Do not cry, Strelly.
Oh, I'm sorry, madam.
One thing I would ask you. Not so long ago, I said I would never wish to know. But now I think I have the courage. My sister. Do you think she has been disloyal to me with the king?
To my knowledge, no, madam.
Thank you, Strelly. Sometimes I have thought... I think my illness has given me strange delusions. I'm tired. Tell Susan that I think I'd like to go to bed.
Yes, madam.
Out of the evil that you think you do, good will come. What good, Master Cromwell? Tell me that.
Robson has been starring as the unhappy queen in Mary Tudor, the play by Wilfrid Grantham, adapted for radio by the author. Appearing with Dame Flora were Jill Balkan as the Princess Elizabeth, Roger Delgado as Philip of Spain, Maurice Denham as Renard, the Spanish ambassador, and Carlton Hobbs as Lord Gardiner. Strelly, the queen's lady-in-waiting, was played by Betty Hardy, Thomas Cromwell by Harold Caskett, Chester, Sussex and Norfolk by Ronald Herdman, Frank Henderson and Rafe Truman, Susan Clarence by Gudrun Ure, Jane Dormer by Rosalind Shanks, Catherine Ashley by Barbara Mitchell, the Lord Mayor, Anthony Vickers, Sir Henry Bedingfield and the narrator, Lockwood West, Ferrier, Rolf Lefevre. The Earl of Salisbury's Pavane by William Byrd was played on the harpsichord by Hubert Dawkes. The production was by David Davis.